Right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 will serve as our text this morning. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 reads, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Now these words are part of the heartfelt prayer of Jeremiah, the prophet of God. This man of God had a love for his Lord, and he had a love for the words of his Lord. I hope that you can identify with Jeremiah, but if you cannot at this moment, perhaps you will allow the Lord to convince your heart this morning. We'll take our text this morning in reverse order in three parts. First, we will see what it means to be called by God's name. We have in our text, "For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Secondly, only those who are called by God's name experience true spiritual joy. As the prophet said, "And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." And third, let us be diligent to digest the word of God into our souls. "Your words were found, and I ate them." First, we'll see what it means to be called by God's name. What did Jeremiah mean when he said, "For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts"? The prophet was pleased to be identified as a man of God. And more than this, Jeremiah drew his own identity not from himself or from anything or anyone on earth, but from the Lord his God. Now Jeremiah was a Jew, and it was through this people that God chose to communicate with men. And so he was privileged in that sense, for it was through the Jews that the oracles of God came. Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah. This meant that he was of the priestly stock. So he certainly had some privileges, humanly speaking, over other Jews of his day. And yet, what are these compared to being called by God's name? John the Apostle, in his gospel, does not go by his own name. He does not say, "I, John the Apostle, have written these things," or "when I leaned on Jesus' bosom." No, he prefers to be known by a better name, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The name from which he drew his identity. The Apostle Paul is a perfect example of this. In his letter to the Philippians, he writes, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus." See, there it is again. The Apostle Paul had something in common with Jeremiah, not only in taking his identity from being called by God's name, but also rejoicing because of it. "And have no confidence in the flesh, though I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Whatever else you may be, friend, whatever else you may be this morning, whatever station you might enjoy in life, on this point be sure. Be sure that you are a Christian, lest you be found to be on the outside looking in on the day of judgment. And we can be sure that day is approaching quickly. In fact, it is closer today than it was yesterday. Now, to be called by the name of someone on earth is to be born into a family. Right? When you're born as a child, or you're brought up in a particular family, it is customary to take the surname of the head of that particular household. Now, in the same way, those who are born again, that is, from above, are born into God's family and are identified by God's name. So we have here the concept of spiritual adoption in Jeremiah's mind. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. As it is written, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this promise is for those not only of the dispensation of the old covenant, but also the dispensation of the new, the church age. Second point this morning, only those who are called by God's name experience true spiritual joy. What does Jeremiah say? And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. How can this be that Jeremiah was rejoicing? If you've read the book of the prophet Jeremiah, he didn't have too good of a time of it, did he? The prophet was continually ridiculed and persecuted in his day. He had to deal with people who were playing politics, as it were, with the word and prophecies of God, kings and priests, and even common people. The man of God knew his God well, and personally, through prayer. And in this, he had great advantage, even leading unto joy. He trusted his God, knowing that he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And more than this, that there has not failed one word of all of his good promise, nor shall ever there be. Notice that it's through the word of God that Jeremiah was able to find joy and rejoicing of his heart. Now Jeremiah, in his day, only had half of the Old Testament writings, and none of the New at all. And yet Jeremiah was rejoicing over half of the scrolls. Should we not then have twice as much cause for rejoicing having the completed canon, the completed Word of God. And with this thought, we've now arrived at our third point, which is our challenge. To be diligent to digest the Word of God into our souls. We have in our text this statement, "Your words were found, and I ate them." Now, God's words were found by Jeremiah because he was interested in finding them. Now, the alcoholic is interested in finding a drink. So he finds one. The drug addict is interested in finding the next fix. So he finds a dealer. Or, if he or she thinks himself or herself more reputable, he or she finds a doctor to prescribe the desired drug. The technology addict, or the addict to pornography on the internet, is interested in finding certain things online or on Facebook or getting the latest app or whatever it is. So what happens? They find them. Well, Jeremiah was looking for God's word, and so he found it. Now, if you wish to find God's word, it is readily available to you. We have the great privilege in this country of ready access to a Bible. And so, this privilege being yours, I ask you, do you pick it up daily as you ought, that your soul may be nourished? Jeremiah speaks of eating God's words, for they are soul food. Job puts it this way, "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now, physical food keeps us alive for another day or two, but spiritual food keeps the soul alive forever. Christ Jesus presents himself as the bread of life. This is no accident that these concepts are connected. In fact, in the Bible, you'll find that term, the scripture says, personified. More than this, not only does Jesus present himself as the bread of life, but all of the scriptures testify of him. Now, if you're called by God's name, or you wish it were so, if you have experienced God's joy, or you wish it were so, I urge you to begin a daily Bible reading plan today, that your faith might graduate to the next level. If you're on level 0, it's about time you get to level 1. If you're on level 1, let's go to level 2. Or if level 15, let's go to level 16. You may master Super Mario Brothers, but you're never going to master this game. This is the real deal, friends. The most important book to read is the one God wrote. Now, devotionals and books about the Bible have their place. But if you're reading a daily devotional every day, and you're not picking up the Word of God every day, you're failing in obedience to the biblical injunction. The Bible doesn't say pick up a devotional every day or pick up a book about God's Word every day. It says pick up God's Word every day. Let's be clear. Now, these things have value, but not apart from the reading of God's Word. So to use them as substitutes for reading God's Word is to miss the point. Now, if your mother wrote you a long letter, she was out of town or out of state for a little while or in another place, and she wrote a letter to you today, Would you not want to read your mother's letter to you? Or would you rather come here and hear me tell you, in my words, for 20 minutes, what your mother said to you? I think we can all answer that one. So here's my challenge to you. To read through all of God's Word this calendar year. Now we offer many plans here. We've got them all over on the table there. You can begin reading in the New Testament, go to the Old Testament, begin reading in the Old Testament, read it straight through. You could read a little bit of each. Or you can simply go the four chapters a day route. If you read the Bible four chapters a day, you'll finish the Bible in a year, and you can blow it. You can miss it 55 times, 55 days, and still read the Bible in a year. So if something happens and you drift off or whatever for a little while, you can get back to it. You can still catch it up. You can still get it done. So we have these charts here on the table. You can also, they're in a lot of Bibles. You know, you can find them. Study Bibles. Again, books about the Bible, commentaries and these things. And like I said, I'm not against these things. I'm just simply saying that they have their place. That the Word of God is first and all of these things are secondary. Also, there are many programs on the computer, you know, like different apps and things like that. There is a caveat with that, and some have accused me of being biased against technology, and you've got a point. You've got a point, rightly so. But I will say this, that I have, in my experience, I have met a far greater percentage of people who followed this commitment through by reading through the hard copy of the Bible than actually following through by doing it online. Because there's a couple of issues with that, a couple of things that happen. First of all, your computer goes down and your app breaks and it doesn't work or something like that. And then where are you? Oh my goodness, where were we before we had these things, right? Or the there are distractions. You know, you got this and then, you know, you get your phone there and you're reading through your Bible and it's 6 o'clock in the morning and then, you know, your computer goes dee 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 or whatever sound your computer makes thing to tell you that you got an incoming email or a reminder or whatever, it's time to wake up or something. So there it goes. So it can tend to be very distracting. Other thing with this is the overall engagement of the senses. So my other suggestion is that you not only read, you know, the physical, you know, your hard copy of the Bible, but that you also read it aloud. Or, you know, if you're married, you read it with your spouse, or, you know, if you've got a family, you read it with your children. These kinds of things, because these can, you know, this will kind of draw in all of the senses or more of the senses. So just some things to throw out there for you, food for thought, take them or leave them. What I can say is that every year since 2001, I came to know the Lord in the year 2000, I've done this, and a couple times in a year, and in so doing, I have learned many things about the big picture. You know, a lot of times people ask me, well, you know, how do you understand, like, you're reading through John, and how are you all of a sudden, you're going to Jeremiah, and you're going to Ezekiel, and you're saying this is the background for this. Like, you're reading John chapter 10. How do you know that Ezekiel 34 talks about the good shepherd, that's the background? Well, because I've read it over and over and over. You know, repetition. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. Again, with that, I don't recommend that you do any plan that doesn't read the Bible in a year. In other words, there are like all of these newfangled things. Like if you go online, you'll find more of these plans to not read the Bible in the year, but to try to read them or get a big picture or whatever. Soft substitutes. There are no substitutes for reading the whole thing. God gave you His whole Word for a reason. If He only wanted you to read, you know, 60% or whatever, He'd given you 60% of it, and then He'd have a little, you know, the optional section. It would be like between the New Testament and the Concordance, the suggested reading, right? This isn't suggested reading. This is mandatory stuff, and God's Word testifies to it over and over again. Now, I will submit to you, though, that this is has been the single benefit to me after prayer in my daily walk with the Lord. So I certainly encourage you to jump on board. And if you're here next New Year, you're going to hear kind of a similar spiel. You might get a little different applications. This is a drum that I continually beat because it's worth it. I understand. I know from experience its value. And there are so many testimonies to this. Well, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that people will, your people, will take heed to these things, and that some might be convicted according to need and according to your holy scriptures of the value of delving into your truth and hearing from your word, that we might progress from the milk stage to the meat stage, or to be able to move on and just to continually be more and more impressed year after year as we continue through this awesome truth that you've given us, Lord God, throughout the year this year. Dear Heavenly Father, quicken your people, each according to where they're at. And Lord, if there be any who may even have questions outstanding as to who it is that the Bible speaks about, who you are, Lord God, that, Lord, you might reveal your truth to seeking hearts, that you've revealed yourself through your only Son, Jesus Christ, who came down as man. God the Son, who came down as man a little over 2 millennia ago and lived a perfectly sinless life to pay a penalty for sin, for our sins, that we could not pay on our behalf, and rose again, and now is seated at the right hand of power, a living hope, that we may know that because he lives, that we may live also. And that under the authority of your word, that through receiving this truth into the heart, we might thereby receive a guaranteed eternal inheritance. Reserved for us, holy and undefiled. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.